So people of God, if you're able, I invite you to stand as we hear God's word. Be reading out of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Thus far the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Please be seated. It's a very familiar text. I'm sure many of you have used it on one another. I've had that done to me, and I've done that to my wife. So I'm sure it happens a lot. We do get anxious about a lot of things. We belong to an eternal kingdom, and yet sometimes we forget that. And we still try to live as if we were still in the fallen kingdom from which we've been rescued. The fallen kingdom which, although we still walk in it, we are not a part of it. We are not members of it. And so this morning, just a reminder, because this is really what it is. It's a reminder of who we are, that when those times come, and they do, they might even come later on this afternoon, who knows, we will be tempted to be overwhelmed by the things, some very important things, by the way, of this world, that the most important thing needs to be remembered. We need to remember what is the most important thing, who is the most important one. So as we look at this text this morning, it's obviously chapter 10. There's a lot more to it. I was tempted to read all of chapter 10, but to spare you, I chose not to. Instead, we'll be looking at just these verses. But as a quick synopsis, and a really quick one at that, when we're looking at 10, we're seeing that Jesus is starting to really expand the kingdom of God. He's actually involving his disciples now. He's been up to this point telling people who he is, in a sense, and he's also been showing them who he is with all these signs and wonders, pointing to him being God in the flesh, as well as the fact that being God in the flesh, he is the king of creation. And being the king of creation, he has a kingdom. And he is establishing that kingdom now on this very earth. He's broken into what exists now, this fallen age. And the age to come, the eternal age, has broken in through him. And so he's been telling them that, and now he's expanding that idea. And so in chapter 10, as you recall, he sends 70, or some translations will have 72, of his disciples to go out. They're to go out in haste. You know, don't bring anything, don't bring extra stuff. Just go out there and tell people, pronounce the kingdom of God and that it's at hand. Hang on a second. Not quite fashionable, but it ought to work a little better. So he sent them out to pronounce that the kingdom of God is at hand, which means it's here. It's been established and it's growing. So it's a warning, and it's also a herald to others that the kingdom of God is here. And to proclaim it to anyone who will listen. And so, of course, you all remember that some will listen, some won't. And to the ones that won't, basically kick the dust off your shoes and go to the next town. But the whole idea is start proclaiming the kingdom of God, my people. And then we read in chapter 10 still, what do you have to do to get to this kingdom? What are the requirements that you have to work at in order to enter that kingdom? Someone asks Jesus that. And then he gives them what's very familiar to us, the Good Samaritan parable. And so societies spring up called the Good Samaritan. There's actually some sort of RV thing, I don't know if it still exists, where it's called Good Sam or something like that. It's got a tape, you stick it on your RV, and it basically being a Good Samaritan to other people. People thinking, yeah, that's what Jesus is telling us here in Luke, is to be a Good Samaritan. And if you sit there and think about it for a minute, he's basically saying, no, I want something more than that. I want someone that's going to perfectly obey the law of God. Because remember, the guy that was asking was saying, okay, so what do I have to do? And then he asks the guy, well, what do you think? And basically says, oh, well, it's the law, right? Love God with everything you are and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, okay, go do it. Go and do it. Well, can you ever do that as an unbeliever? Can you really love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with everything in your fiber? Can you do that and still say, well, I don't quite believe you. My faith is not really in you. Well, of course not. But you can see what Jesus is saying to this man. You have to be transformed by God. You have to be born once more. You have to be born from above. That's really what he's telling him. Of course, John tells us that, but this is Luke's way of telling us that. And now we get into this text here. Again, the theme is about the kingdom of God, so go out and proclaim it. And these are the requirements. You really have to trust in the Lord. You have to be transformed by God. And at the same time, there's this element of your response to God's prompting. Your response to the gospel that God gives to you. And so as we look at this, Jesus is calling people then to choose his kingdom. And when he's telling you to choose his kingdom, he's telling you to choose the best. So in this text this morning, when Jesus came to Mary and Martha's house, Mary chose to leave her sister. Her sister says to Jesus, my sister has left me. Now you're probably thinking, well, there's a little bit more to that, right? It's nothing so dramatic. It's she's left me so she can go do something else. She's left me from helping me to go do something else. Kids, you ever do that? Do you ever get distracted when you're helping mom and dad and all of a sudden something more exciting or maybe less work comes to your mind and off you go? You've left your work. You have left perhaps your mom and dad. That's the idea here. That's what Mary or Martha is saying. Mary, my sister who was helping me, has left me. But why? Well, Mary chose the king of the kingdom of God over something that belonged to this world. When Jesus came knocking on their door, Martha continued working, but Mary chose Jesus. And that's really what's going on here. Mary was sitting beside the Lord's feet, hearing his word. Sitting by the Lord's feet, when you hear that, what do you guys think about? Kids, have you heard that before, sitting by somebody's feet? You know, it's an old expression where that's the way they talked in the old days, where if you're learning, especially if you're learning from a tutor, then it was a close relationship of a master teaching a student, a master knowledgeable person teaching a student, somebody new. And so in those days, what would happen is the teacher would be sitting, and then the student would be kneeling or on the ground sitting next to that person. Now, kids, do you sit like that when you're in school? Probably not. It's uncomfortable. And who knows, there's probably some state hygiene law that won't let you do it anyway. But anyway, what's going on here is this idea of sitting at the feet of a teacher. And I think that Luke here is kind of getting that idea across. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his every word. He is giving her tutoring, one-on-one. And imagine, that's the best seminary education anybody could ever have. And Mary's getting it. So she has left the things of the world in order to focus on Jesus. So when God came knocking, Mary went and she paid attention to him. She focused on him. But when God came knocking, Martha didn't quite respond the same way. Martha stayed focused on the things of the world. In verse 40, we read, Martha was overwhelmed with much serving. And standing near him, she said, Lord, it's not a care to you that my sister left me alone to serve. No, I did a little bit of translation here. It's, Lord, it's not a care to you. That's how she's actually saying it. Lord, it's not a care to you that my sister's left me to do the work by myself. That's kind of a poke in the eye of Jesus, isn't it? You really don't care a bit. I'm slaving away, and you don't really care. We've probably said things like that to the Lord before, haven't we? Lord, you just don't understand what you've placed me in. You don't really care. Of course, that's sheer blasphemy, if nothing else. But you can see how patient he is. Her older sister needed her, but Mary didn't respond. But Martha was saying to Jesus, she went to the Lord, and she said, I need help serving. Straightforward. And you'll notice the way she does it. She's not like in the kitchen, and she's going, Jesus, can you get Mary to help me? No. And standing near him. So he's teaching Mary, and he's probably sitting. And Martha comes up to him, and then she talks to him. It's almost like she's standing on him. Not quite, but you get this picture, right? She's pushing it. She's being insistent. She's going, I need help, and I want to make sure you get the picture. She goes right up to him. Now, it's useful for us to see that she's not just nagging him. Well, she is, but it's more than that. There's a big picture going on here. Hospitality at that time was a very big deal. It's big today, but it was a very big deal before. There would be great shame associated with any lack in your hospitality or in your failure to provide hospitality. So there was expectations in that society. And Martha was going to meet those expectations. And so she's working at this. All right, so we can kind of associate with that. We can kind of get the idea. But there's something else going on here as well. We might have missed it. Most of you probably didn't, but I missed it for a long time. And it's at the very beginning of verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, who is they? Did Jesus ever travel completely alone? I mean, if he's going from one town to another, did he go alone? No, he always had his disciples and hangers-on, right? Disciples, people that were kind of interested as well, and maybe people that just wanted to hang around there scribes and Pharisees that wanted to catch him at what he said. So those would be the moles. But he never went alone. And so now he goes into little Bethany, little town, and Martha's there, Martha and Mary, and it's probably more than just the two sisters, right? They had a household. And Martha's going, okay, we've invited these people in. It's time for some hospitality. So kill the fatted calf, clean up everything, get them all together, and it's a family affair. It's a household affair. Mary's a part of it. It's an important function. There's a lot of people, and they've got to take care of them, and they've got to feed them and get everything all arranged. Now, for most of us, we probably don't have that kind of thing to face, but perhaps some of us do on occasion, and you would identify with this. So kids, if you've ever helped mom and dad, if there's going to be people over for dinner, you know, if they've asked you to do something and you don't, they start to have these, that's not quite panic, but they're going, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. For Martha here, there's a ton of work. There's a bunch of people coming in, they've got to prepare, and they need all the help they can. So this visit is a really big deal. It's not just, oh, we're going to have somebody over. This is a really big deal. Everybody in this small little town is going to know. In fact, maybe a lot of people from this small little town are going to show up and expect to be taken care of. So you can see that Mary chose Jesus, and Martha said, hey, I've got responsibilities here. And perhaps we would all think the same thing. You know, it is important. There's a time and a place for everything. Right now, the time is to take care of these people. So how does Jesus then deal with Martha? Well, it might be a little bit, for some of us, might be a little bit strange when Jesus says that he wants her to choose time with him right now. Jesus calls Martha to choose him and his eternal kingdom over things of this vanishing world. That's really what's going on here. And you can think in your mind, well, wait a minute, you know, there's got to be mitigating circumstances, kids. Mitigating means, you know, things that kind of change things and might work in your favor. There's mitigating circumstances. There's all these people out here, right? What am I going to do about that? And Jesus wants me to come and listen to him. Now, it's something for us to think about, right? But there is something to think about along Jesus' lines. How many times is Jesus going to be coming into town? Maybe he's come in the past. But the big picture is this. He doesn't just hang around there all the time. This is an opportunity for Martha and Mary, for this household, to hear the word of God direct from God. How many of you would, and you don't have to answer, obviously, but think about this, it's a rhetorical question. How many of you would drop everything if Jesus said, okay, I'm going to beam down here tomorrow morning at 5? How many of you would show up here if you knew it would really happen? Well, actually, when he really does come, we're all going to go up anyway. But you get the idea. It was an opportunity. It didn't happen all the time to have Jesus there. And what would you choose? We can see that one woman chose to drop everything and be with him. And the other one stayed distracted with the things of this world. And so Jesus, in his kindness, goes, Martha, Martha, you know what you're anxious and troubled about much. You're worried about a lot of things, which is true. I mean, he knows there's all these things, all these people. So you do have a lot on your plate, is really what he's saying. Martha, I know you've got a lot on your plate. But then he says in verse 42, but one is needed. That's kind of a wooden translation. But one, and then you can add the word thing. That's the idea. But one thing is needed. So how would he say it? Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but you know what? But there's only one thing that's really needed. There's only one thing. And by the way, like I said, you could translate it and just leave it, but there's only one that's really needed. And I like that better. Because who is that one that's really needed? Who do you really need? Do you need a thing? Or do you need someone? So what is that one thing or that one that Martha really needs, that she is lacking but needs to have? Well, as we saw, Martha thinks that she needs help. What she really needs is help. All the help she can get, including from her sister, because she's got these things to do. She's going to do things that are good, that are necessary, that have their place in life, and she's going to do that to and for the Lord. Now, we often do things we often do things for the Lord, don't we? I'm going to do this for the Lord. It's in your head. I do this for the Lord. And they're good, and they're right. And that's kind of what's going on here. But look at what Jesus is saying. Jesus instead says to Mary, or to Martha, that, hey, Martha, you know, Mary has what you should have. You have a need. You have one thing you really need. And guess what? Your sister has chosen. She's chosen the good portion. And guess what? That good portion that she's chosen, it can't be taken away from her. Now, kids, when it's talked that way, it's saying you have it forever. So Jesus is saying to Martha, you know what? You need something. You need someone. And Mary has chosen that good portion, and she'll never lose it. It's always hers, no matter what. Now, it's important, kids. Everything goes away. Everything dies, everything rusts, everything fades away. But there's one portion that doesn't, and that's what Jesus is talking about. And you know, there's a good psalm that says it. It's in Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places indeed. I have a beautiful inheritance. What is that good portion that Jesus is talking about? I believe you see it here in the psalm. What is that good portion? The one that Mary has that can't be taken away from her? That good portion is the Lord. And that is what Jesus is pointing Martha to in her frenzy, in her right in the middle of it, I'm overloaded world. He's saying, hey, there's one portion that's really important that you need to have. So, with faith, Mary has chosen Jesus as her portion, and Jesus is saying that. She sits at the feet of her master, learning of God and his kingdom. And no one can take that away from her. Is your faith in Christ this morning? Then you have him, the one, that good portion, the one that can't be taken away from you, not in this age or in the age to come. You know, Martha's work, as I said, was important. We do important things as well. But it's important for us to remember while we're in the midst of things, especially when we're in the midst of things, to be listening to the Lord, to be, as a manner of speaking, sitting at his feet, hearing his word, studying it, learning of him, that we might love him more. And so that's what Jesus is telling Martha. You've got to drop what you're doing and pay attention to me. At least at this time, you don't have me all the time. And if you're a very practical person, you're thinking, well, then what about all those people? Right? Jesus, you're so impractical. Well, actually, if you think about it, what's the whole theme about? It's pronouncing the kingdom of God. That's evangelism. That's witnessing. That's being a believer in a fallen age. And so that's really what he's calling her here. He's calling her to evangelism too, isn't he? And so, to answer a rhetorical question, what would he do? What should she do? If she went and listened to his preaching, and all those people are milling around, some will probably leave, just like when the disciples went out and people didn't receive the word. But some might stay and hear, and that might be the time that they hear and believe. And then when it's all done, then they can eat. Then they can be entertained, right? That stuff can always happen. But hearing the word, that's special. So Jesus is that one that every human being truly needs in order to have peace with God, in order to have that eternal life, the life that can't be taken away. Every person needs that, but not everybody wants it. And so, like Mary needed to, unbelievers, those whose faith is not in Christ, perhaps someone here this morning, they need to leave the things of this world, to abandon it, and to come to Christ, to take that time to see how important it is. Because you see, nothing in this life lasts. We all know that. Kids, even you're figuring that out too, right? You've got toys that are broken now. You've got stuff you've lost. You've got stuff that's worn out. You might even have stuff you thought, don't need this anymore, and you gave it away. Nothing lasts forever, does it, in this age? But your soul, that's eternal. That's important to take care of, and that's what Jesus is pointing Martha to. And it's something we need to remind ourselves of. But unbelievers need the Lord. They need to leave the things of this age. They need to be told that. One way to remind them is this, out of Matthew 16:26. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? And that also reminds us then, doesn't it? We who have eternity with Christ, and so many times we let the things of this age, of this world, distract us away from the Lord. It's easy to do, right? I'll just read later on. I'll just pray later on. I've got things I've got to do. Maybe we need to rethink our priorities. No, it doesn't mean just drop everything, of course. But it does mean maybe we need to rethink our priorities. Sometimes we have to do that every day, don't we? Because the things of this world will always just drag on until the Lord returns. But none of it lasts forever. But we last forever with our eternal Lord. And so he's calling us then to enjoy him now as well as forevermore. That's something to think about, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, it's a beautiful world that you've made. You've made us body and soul. And so we have things of the body that need to be done. We can't do things in parallel. We can only do them sequentially. And so we have limits. So help us then, Lord, to prioritize our lives, to focus on you, and to remember that it's all about you and that our opportunity is to grow in you as well as to proclaim you, both in services like this as well as in everyday encounters with others. Help us then to remember the important portion, the necessary portion. Help us to remember you in our everyday lives, and in that way to grow in our love for you and for one another. It's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.